ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Messi. Oh, and England are in trouble. And maybe through Lautaro Martinez, they're going out in the semi-final stage.
That is the sound of English hearts breaking at the Football World Cup. And the thing is, they maybe had only themselves to blame. 1-0 up through 85 minutes, they relented in the face of a desperate Argentina fight back. Lionel Messi provided two assists. Enzo Fernandez provided the equalising screamer. And Lautaro Martinez delivered the hammer blow. English manager Thomas Tuchel made bold decisions. Some worked out for him, some very much did not. And the three Lions fans will be brimming with recriminations. It's probably too much to say he parked the bus, but England certainly ceded the initiative. And ultimately, it is a familiar story. Football is not coming home. But England is most certainly going home. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Socceroos great Mark Schwarzer is on hand to talk about a fizzy semi-final. England out of the World Cup. Argentina go through to the final. Mark, welcome. A game that crackled with animus. England 1-0 up. They lose 2-1 in the face of an Argentina onslaught. I mean, the South Americans were the better team. But to hear Harry Kane in the aftermath, to hear Thomas Tuchel in the aftermath, it's clear England will feel this is an opportunity missed.
I think Argentina certainly, after going 1-0 down, they became the better side. Up until that point, I don't think they were. I actually think they were there to be beaten. And when England went 1-0 up, there was a period of time there for about 10 minutes or so where England really needed to go at it. And it's really tough. You go 1-0 up, make some more positive changes, because I felt that there was a lot of England players who were running on near empty already when they went 1-0 up. And I feel that the only criticism I would give to Thomas Tuchel in terms of that, and it's easy to watch it from afar and watch the game, difficult when you're managing the game on the sideline, is that I would have liked to have seen him making the substitutions a little bit sooner, because players just look like they're on the knees.
Yeah, I wonder how much the Azteca, bruising game with Norway, ultimately played into the sort of fatigue that we saw. Tuchel made some big changes. You know, he started Morgan Rogers, who provided the assist for Anthony Gordon. He started Jed Spence, who made a crucial defensive challenge. But the focus now will be the sense that this team, through its substitutions and otherwise, maybe tried to defend a lead from too far out, 30 minutes out.
Once we went 1-0 up, we seemed to just try and hold on, which, you know, at this level, it's not enough.
Park the bus is a step too far. But, you know, there was a sense that 1-0 up, they were defending for like half an hour.
And I think a lot of that was because of the fatigue. I think the players, like I said, that's my only critique. I would have liked to have seen the manager make substitutions a bit earlier. I think that could have changed the swing. Inevitably, you are going to be put under pressure. Argentina are chasing the game. They're going to start committing plays. They're going to leave gaps. That's where you need the players with fresh legs to exploit it. England didn't have that until, 94th minute, where they had more attacking-minded players come on. You could see Harry Kane, there was no way in the world he was even going to get in the box in the latter stages of the game. And I get why you don't take Harry Kane off, you know, if it goes to penalties and all that sort of stuff and defining moments, and if something falls to him, you still fancy him. I get all that. But I think overall, that's the only critique I've got.
I take the responsibility for the substitutions. It's easy to be a coach after the game. You tell the story from the results. No one can prove what would have happened with other substitutions. I take the responsibility. I take the substitutions.
You look at the lineup, like you said, Jed Spence, Morgan Rogers. I thought they were both brilliant. I thought they were both exceptional. I thought Morgan Rogers was running on empty for probably a good quarter of the game. It could have easily come off because he was gone. But he was so good and so important. His delivery in the box from the right was exceptional.
Rogers is crossed. Gordon coming in. Anthony Gordon.
Anthony Gordon finished it really well, criticised for not really probably doing enough in games. And I thought today he was definitely one of his better games. He wasn't outstanding, but it certainly was one of his better games. And it was a very, very good finish and a brilliant ball across. So I look at it and I think, well, actually, everything that Thomas Tuchel has done up until today has been incredibly important, has been a big reason why they've had the success so far, a big reason why they got to the semi-finals. All the substitutions he's made has helped England get over the line when it was in Mexico at you know, silly meters in the air of 2,200 plus meters, to then playing in the heat of Miami at 5 o'clock in the afternoon against Norway, two teams who've just battled on fumes in the end to try and win the game. So I think everything he did up until all those points was spot on. Even today, the starting 11, just the timing, the substitutions for me is the question. And I get why they kept going deeper and deeper. Players were running on empty. And it's worked in the past. They've defended and defended really well. The problem was, I think they were so low, players were no longer even focused on what they were supposed to be doing. Like the amount of free headers they had in the box was really alarming and surprising. And inevitably, they're always going to concede, and barring a miracle. And I think that's what they were hoping for, a miracle. And unfortunately, that didn't happen for them today.
Was there actually shades of last manager Gareth Southgate in that performance in a funny way? I'm not the only person to sort of be throwing that out there from what I've seen in the sort of early analysis out there. Do you see that line?
I mean, you can certainly draw comparisons to the way in which England played the games and the way the games finished off, and losing the game in the end by trying to hang on to a game in the latter stages. I get it. But I think overall, it's been a very different selection process. I think it's been a very different lineup process that Thomas Tuchel's undertaken. He's made it very obvious before the World Cup, it was about picking the best team he possibly could. And look, they were 5 minutes away, plus stoppage time, of beating Argentina, knocking the current world champions out of the World Cup. And they were so close, but so far. And I think part of it is also a mindset. You know, for all players, you know, you get to a final, or a semi-final, you get to a major tournament, the longer the game goes on, you're winning and the fatigue sets in, you're playing against the likes of Argentina and Lionel Messi, and who I have to say up until the last 10 minutes was probably non-existent in the game for large parts of it. But that's where you can see where he can hurt teams. You give him space, players are tired, he finds a way. Deliveries in the box are exceptional.
More often than not, Messi gets into the penalty area. One's on target.
I don't think necessarily it's a comparison, but obviously the way in which England have gone out is where the comparisons lie.
I don't believe so much in an English thing and in a curse or whatever, or in like history repeating itself in these moments. It's just like it's different coaches, different players, different situations, different opponents.
You touch Lionel Messi, and we'll get there in a moment. Just one on Jude Bellingham. The focus of so much Argentinian shithousery. I mean, so much of the lead-in was like, who would handle the antagonism of this game best? Did Bellingham handle the occasion, or do you feel like the occasion handled him a bit?
I thought he did really well to contain his frustration, to not bite back. I mean, he was being attacked from all sides. I mean, Paredes was, I thought, borderline a couple of times, should have got a yellow card just for his antics alone. You see the Argentinian players, how they run into players, how they fall, and they always, when they fall together with another player, end up with their feet on them, their legs on them. It can't be a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. There's a lot of that. And you can see the minute there's a foul on Messi in the first half, Anderson gets a yellow card. It wasn't a yellow card offense. Actually, Anderson didn't even do anything. It was Jed Spence who actually slightly nudged Messi, and he was nudged into Anderson. So it wasn't actually a yellow card, in my opinion. There were far worse incidents in the game prior to that that the referee didn't give a yellow card for. That's the only criticism of the referee. I felt that he could have put a stop to a lot of those antics earlier on, and he was fearful of doing it because he didn't want to ruin the game. Because if he gives one early or too early, then there's a danger that he may have to at some stage send a player off, and he doesn't really want to do that. I don't care what they all say. They definitely don't want to ruin the game. It's a big decision when that comes up. I feel that Argentina played the game very well. They know how to play the occasion. We've seen it every round so far. This team doesn't know how to lose. They haven't played great football, but their fight, determination, and obviously there's some individual insane players, get them through. They just know how to keep prodding, keep pushing, keep agitating, and just keep going relentlessly to find a winner. Even the minute you switch off, you've got someone like Messi who takes a quick corner, whips a ball in a box full of England players who are half asleep. It's a simple header. from what, 4 yards out from Lautaro Martinez? A guy of that quality, you can't give him a 3 yard or 4 yard header, free header, which, you know, for me, says a lot about where England were mentally and also physically at that stage of the game.
I mean, Argentina led every key statistic. They scored two. McAllister hit the post twice. Could have been, you know, four, really. They were undeniably the better side. What was your reaction when Enzo Fernandez just bangs in a worldie from range when they're 1-0 down? For me, it's the kind of goal where you're making involuntary noises.
Yeah, you are. And look, it was an excellent strike. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he struck it very, very well. Messi's really quick corner was very clever. England were way too deep once again. They couldn't get to the ball. A difficult one for the goalkeeper. He sees it a little bit late over a whole host of players who are in front of him. But that's the difference. When you have quality players like that, and Argentina found another gear. And also, you know, there's a momentum. There's adrenaline. The Argentinians didn't... Look, let's be honest as well. Argentina have travelled less than anyone else. This is the first time they've played against a top 10 nation in the World Cup. Yes, they've had hard games. They've had real battles. But they haven't had to travel as much. They haven't had a variety of conditions as much. They didn't have to play at altitude. That all plays its part and has definitely played a part in England today, which I feel for them because I feel like in that element, they got the rough end of the stick. But look, you've got to give credit when credit's due. Argentina do not know how to lose and they just never roll over. They know how to win at all costs. They will do whatever they have to do to win games. And the game today, there was all sorts of going ons, you know, whether it was trying to put players off, niggling, pushing, running into, then brilliance of Enzo Fernandez goal to Messi lighting it up to McAllister hitting the posts, you know, all that sort of stuff because they've also got incredibly top quality players in their squad.
Do they get away with too much?
I think in the first 20 minutes, definitely. I personally want a referee to take control of the game a little bit more. I don't like when a team does that. I mean, we've seen it with Paraguay. I think the referee allowed way too much to happen in that game. We've seen it again with Argentina on a couple of occasions. And I feel that the referee needs to be a little bit stronger. And the only way they can do that is by handing out yellow cards early in the game because that stops things. That slows things right down. And then having a word with the captains. It's a thing that, unfortunately, for football, neutrals who either are maybe new to the game, that's what they don't like about the game. They don't like that element of the game, the diving, the play acting, and so forth. And I think this tournament has actually improved dramatically. I think the way in which it's been officiated and refereed those moments, the referees have done really, really well at allowing games to flow. The referees, I think, have done that really, really well in this tournament.
Lionel Messi was his first competitive game against England. We got two assists. What did you make of the little master doing his thing against the English on a huge stage?
Up until the last 15, 20 minutes, he was almost non-existent. There were moments on the ball and he showed some quality and then showed some little bit of brilliance, but then was really ineffective. And Argentina going forward was pretty ineffective until the last sort of 20 minutes when they started to gain momentum. England shot deeper and deeper and the game then really suited Messi. Give him a little bit of space, give him opportunity. Got an opposition who are on their knees. The worst player you want at you is Lionel Messi because of the quality he's got, the opportunity, the ability he's got to whip balls in, the cleverness, the alertness. You know, that's why he's regarded as one of the best players of all time.
I'm interested to understand how you think this might shape England going forward because we're 2 years away from the Euros. Tuchel's contract runs until at least then. Inevitably, when there's the disappointment of a campaign like this, there's somewhat of a what can we do better? How can we correct? How do you think that this result is going to shape what comes next for this English outfit?
Look, I think there's a real lot to change. Like, I think overall the mentality and the fight and the spirit that England have shown has been really, really good. Yeah, of course, at times you want a bit better quality of football, but that's down to the players to a large degree as well. I think fatigue really hammered England. Injuries. I think England had players coming to this tournament who were carrying injuries. And that's always a risk for a manager. It's difficult. Like, you know, you look at Bukayo Saka, wonderful player, but has struggled most of the season with injuries with Arsenal, stop, start. Then at this World Cup has not looked the same. So he's clearly carrying an injury still. He's clearly not 100%. They're the big decisions. He made some really big decisions leading up to the tournament. And hindsight's always an easy thing.
They gave their very best. You could see kind of like that we were in moments also tired, struggling from players being sick, injured, whatever. So, it was a mix of that, and that's why we struggled and got punished.
And we see it nearly every World Cup. Coaches take gambles on really key players. And, of course, Bukayo Saka is a key player. I get it. I understand that. But I think the thought process of his replacement, if Saka's not fit, that's something that needed to be looked at differently. I think we saw that, you know, his replacement, Noni Maweki, is not at the level that they needed to be to certainly play as many games of football that he needed to play to try and fill that void that Saka was leaving. And I think Morgan Rogers filled that gap today the best out of all the players so far. And then you look at Declan Rice, who's struggled. He's been struggling for most of the season with a nerve issue. He was ill. Anything you can think of. And then you look at Elliot Anderson, who's had to carry the burden a lot of the time, and he's played so many minutes. Harry Kane, all these guys, you know, it's been tough. John Stones, who I don't think looked out of sorts. The only thing I'd say is the fitness levels in the end, because he hasn't played a lot of football throughout the course of the season. And that all plays its part. That's all vitally important. Reece James, another player, has had injury issues. And you kind of go, there are, what, four or five players that had injury clouds coming into this tournament? I think if I were in that position, I'd be looking at those key moments, those key selections, and going, as good a player as they are, I think you've got to look at trying to minimize the number of players that are carrying something that come into a tournament.
Palmer, Foden, Maguire, would you expect these guys to be back in the mix as we look ahead to the Euros in 2 years' time?
Look, I feel for Harry Maguire because I think his form was very, very good. So I think that was purely a choice thing for the manager, and he'll have his reasons why he didn't pick Harry Maguire. That was surprising. But then in the case, it was a bit like, okay, is he that much better than Mark Gay or John Stones or Consa or, you know, whoever? Obviously, Tuchel's made that decision, and that's who he's gone with. I think with Phil Foden was nowhere near his levels. And I think he'd be probably the first to admit that he was nowhere near his previous season's levels. I don't think his club football helped him. I don't think he got a real chance to get rhythm. He was in and out of the team all the time. And I also don't think Cole Palmer was anywhere near his best. So as good a players as they are, and like phenomenal players, I don't mind a manager not picking players because they haven't performed. And I think that's how it should be. And I don't think they've played at the level. And I don't think they would have made a big difference being here at this World Cup. There's no reason to think they would have made a difference because their form throughout the season has been nowhere near at the level we've seen them play at the past.
You get to call the third, fourth playoff game, and it's kind of fascinating, that fixture, when you consider the deep disappointment of both the French and the English. What an incredibly hard thing to get yourself back up for a couple of days after the agonising disappointment of tumbling out of a World Cup. Like, how precarious is that fixture for these players? Like, I feel like there's just more to lose than there is to gain. Like, if you really embarrass yourself there, it could be extremely painful. But equally, maybe this is the time that they want to give guys minutes who haven't had minutes throughout the tournament. Like, how is that going to be framed by each team?
Really depends, doesn't it? I mean, it really depends on the fitness of players. I mean, you think about it, you know, today's Wednesday, the game's in 4 days' time. How well do England players recover? How well do the French players have got an extra day to recover for that game? I would envisage that Kylian Mbappe will want to play because he wants to still try and win Golden Boot. Harry Kane will want to continue play, you would think, because he has a chance to win it. Jude Bellingham, you would think, would want to play because he has a chance if he scores a couple. You know what I mean? So I feel that a lot of these players would want to play because there's still a lot riding on it. But yeah, you're right. The heartache and trying to lift yourself, that's the difficulty bit. I don't know. I've never been in that situation before, unfortunately. But I can only imagine. And it's an interesting game and an interesting one that I think every World Cup, there is a discussion and people certainly talk about whether or not this sort of game is worth continuing. Is it really worth having a third and fourth playoff? Does anyone really value it?
Nobody of these players, nobody of French players wants to play for this match. They want to play in the final. We gave everything to be in the final. Everyone plays to win the World Cup, but it is what it is. So,
well, I think certainly in the last World Cup, I think we saw it was valued, and I think the World Cup before it was also valued. So maybe there is more to it, you know. And I'll let you know after the game on Saturday how it was received and how the players react to it, how the fans react to it.
Draws us towards the final. Spain, a clinical, mechanical force against an Argentina side. As you say, kings of the dark arts. They refuse to lie down. Star quality deluxe. Who are the neutrals going for in this scenario?
I think the vast majority of people will be going for Spain. I think there's a lot of people who don't relate with the Argentinians, don't really want. I mean, obviously, there's a hell of a lot of Messi fans out there that want Argentina to win. There's no doubt about that for sure. And obviously, they've got a huge amount of support to be in consecutive World Cup finals is impressive as well. I think most people will be hoping that that Spain win it. I personally think that's my feeling. Certainly a lot of England fans probably will, because they don't want Argentina that beat them and knocked them out to win it. And I think, you know, the booing the national anthem before the kickoff. I've had it before when we played Uruguay with the same thing when we played away. I mean, it's not something that most people find acceptable, but certain parts of the world think it's absolutely fine to boo other people's national anthem, which, you know, that's something I find pretty poor as well. I mean, it's not really fair play, is it? So I think that will play in the hands of a lot of people wanting Spain to beat Argentina.
Do you think that they can do it? I assume that they will go in favourites because of the body of work, even though they've kind of been under the radar a little bit at certain parts of this tournament. But the way that they took care of France, I assume that they are going to be the team to beat. But is it going to be a contrast of styles? Like, how do you see it stylistically?
Definitely a contrast of styles. I think Spain won't be put off by the antics, pushing the shoving, the little digs. And I mean, Spain are pretty good at it at times as well. We've seen it. We've seen it time and time again. We saw it in the game against France. You know, they're not afraid to nudge, leave the boot in and let people know that they're in for a game. These guys are not afraid to throw their bodies on the line and mix it with Argentina. And they'll know they're in for a big fight. I think football-wise, clearly for me, Spain is the better side. Obviously, Messi's in the Argentinian side. They've got incredible individual. I don't think Argentina are playing great football, personally, from what we've seen in the past. But that, like I said before, the ability to win games, however that is, whether you like it, don't like it, I thought today was definitely one of their best performances in that latter stages of that second half. You know, I think shows you that this team can play good football if they're kind of more on the front foot and decide to. But what they do very, very well, and they did it 4 years ago in the World Cup final, they get a lead and they kill the game. They're actually very, very good at doing it. They almost did it in the last World Cup 4 years ago, 2-0 lead. And obviously France then came into the game and they had individual brilliance that were able to get them in the game and push it all the way to extra time. I feel that Spain will just have more, you know, their ability on the ball, their movement off the ball, their organization, their collective press, high press. I feel that Argentina are going to find it difficult to go with them.
Lamine Yamal and Lionel Messi, inevitably the photos doing the rounds again, like it, hilarious. I'm sure you've seen it, of Messi holding Lamine Yamal as a baby for a photo shoot, you know, I think 20 years ago, or not quite 20 years, because Lamine Yamal's not that old. He's 19. It's hilarious, or like insane, that photo is going to be very much kind of a key storyline, in the sense that you've got master versus apprentice vibes again. Not to say Lamine's going to be ever in Messi's sort of rare air, but he's no doubt the finest player in Spain's 11.
Well, I think something's rubbed off Messi, hasn't it, on Lamine Yamal when he was a kid, obviously. You know, if that's even possible. And yeah, no, pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, obviously Barcelona and that connection, Messi being an absolute god in football, in world football, in Barcelona, Argentina, and I'm sure Lamine Yamal, certainly for 90 minutes plus whatever extra we got, he's not going to be a Messi fan, but I'm sure he is a Messi fan. I'm sure he's looked up to him, and I'm sure he's inspired to try and get somewhere even in the vicinity of Messi, if that's even possible. I don't know. But yeah, it sets up for an intriguing battle. And the storylines obviously are brilliant as well. The fact that Spain have only conceded one goal in this whole tournament is pretty crazy as well. And we think about, like, look, I said, I thought France were going to beat Spain. I thought France had too much for Spain. The way in which they controlled that game, the way in which they shut that game down and shut France out tactically, the press, the movement, when they regain possession, when they get to a defensive block, the way in which they retain the possession and play through teams, around teams, triangles all over the park, the one-touch football, the second goal that Spain scored against France, they've got that. That's kind of like prime Argentina with Messi, and they're not quite prime Messi and prime Argentina, I don't feel. Obviously still more than capable. We saw Messi weave his magic enough times throughout this tournament already to show that there are definitely moments left in him, and he's definitely someone that you can't underestimate. He showed that once again today.
Do you think this is the last time we see Messi at a football World Cup?
Who knows? Really, who knows? Like, I was always interested to see at what level he's going to be. You know, playing in the MLS, how is that going to affect him when you, more so the latter stages of the World Cup, when you come against the big, big teams, the teams that tactically, and I think the greatest example is going to be in this final, where is he and how is he going to make an influence? Is he going to impact this game? You're brave to bet against him impacting the game. But I just wonder, and I think the result on Sunday will probably dictate what he does in some way, shape or form. But who knows? Maybe in his own head, he's probably thought, regardless of what happens on Sunday, this is it. Maybe. Who knows? It'll be a sad day for football if that were to be the case, of course. But let's hopefully we can enjoy the game on Sunday. Hopefully it's a phenomenal game of football.
Give us a tip. I feel like you always give us 2-1. Who's going to win 2-1, Mark? You're always thinking a 3-goal game.
Yeah, I often am, aren't I? it's hard to think that Argentina won't score. The problem I've got is that Spain have been so good, And they've come up against good opposition as well. It's not like they've played mugs. They've played very good teams. I'm going to go with actually a 2-0 to Spain.
Okay. I love it. Bucking the trend just as we reach the closing stages. Hey, enjoy the third V4th. We'll catch up with you after the World Cup final. I can't believe we are nearly through what's going to be 104 games. What a tournament it's been. Thanks for today. Appreciate it, Mark.
Pleasure.
Okay, before we go, need to mention the postscript to this game. Argentina players holding up a political banner reading Las Malvinas son Argentinas. I'm talking a big white sheet with those words written in black. It translates to, the Falklands are Argentine. That's a reference to the 1982 conflict where 649 Argentine soldiers and 255 British soldiers were killed. It was handed down from the crowd and probably, almost certainly, contravenes FIFA's rules about political messaging. And as of record, the governing body has not yet offered comments when asked about this incident. You'd expect some kind of fine. The going rate for players in the past is about $38,000 Australian. You'd sense, given the sensitivity around this issue, could be a little bit more. It wasn't the only bit of controversy. Jude Bellingham slapped rival substitute Valentin Barco on the back of the head. Wow. Okay. That's it for today. Thanks to Poppy Penny for producing. Thanks to SBS and the BBC for the extra audio used in this episode.